Hi, it's Greg and Lucky.
And this is our podcast. If you don't catch us from 5 to 9, this is what you missed.
Once something has a name, no matter how that came to be, it's usually rarely changed. But some people online were discussing names of things that could have better names. So, for example, dentures should be substitutes.
Except if you have them, then you can't say substitutes.
That's right. Contractions should be birthquakes.
Right. That makes okay, sense. Gotcha.
A bacon alternative should be fakin.
Fakin is a good one for that.
Yeah. A driveway should be a parkway, and a parkway should be a driveway.
Very true.
Yeah.
Well, mind you, if you're on the Don Valley most mornings, it really is a parkway, not a driveway.
That's true. Someone suggested that garbage men should be renamed pickup artists, and pickup artists should be called garbage men. That's good. Jet skis should be called boatercycles.
Yeah, not far off.
You got any on those jet skis? Those damn jet ski kids on your lake?
Yes. Not really kids so much. It's not really the jet skis, because the original jet ski was that stand-up thing.
Yeah.
Which were so much fun, by the way, if you ever had a chance to ride one of those things. The new ones are these, the Sea-Doos, which are little, like, they're called personal watercrafts. They're these little boats. But those things are like $20,000 now for one of those
insane.
Things.
People go to their cottage for calm, cool reflection, and most people stand at their lakeside screaming at people. Yeah. You're coming too close. We know they're 3/4 of the way out in the lake.
Well,
you don't own the lake.
That is often a debate as to what extent do you own. Don't want you fishing near their dock riding too close.
That's right, because in your cottage ownership, the fish belong to you.
Right. Well, mind you, like at our cottage, we've had to like basically redo the shoreline to shore it up because of all of these massive boats designed to make huge wakes so people can surf on them.
Right.
And it's actually like ripping away the shoreline because the waves are hitting so hard.
Boo. I don't know how you
It's an environmental issue, Craig.
Uh-huh. Well, a buddy of mine, they got a cottage on the wrong side of the tracks up in Muskoka. And because they're not in amongst the celebrities.
Gotcha.
They're in the neighborhood, but not quite close enough. Anyhow, yeah, I guess you can't even, like, cut down a tree. Say your shoreline has got a lot of trees. You want to have a clearer look at the lake. One, you can get away with it if you just do it, but so many nasty neighbors.
Oh, yeah.
Calling the environment, whoever.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
At one Joe point, cut down his tree. There's only 10,000 on his property.
At one point, I think on our lake, they had like a boat going around doing video of the shoreline.
God.
Make sure no one touched it. And yeah, you need permits and to touch anything within 10 feet of the lake. Because of those very rich homeowners who were building boathouses that looked like condominiums.
Being in cottage country must be similar to living in Nazi Germany in the 1930s. Everybody's spying on you and ratting you out.
I saw a new show the other day. I just happened to come across it. And it was like one of those real estate shows.
Mm-hmm.
But it was on Lake of the Ozarks. Which only intrigued me because I watched Ozark.
Right.
And they showed, like, yeah, some of these, like, multi-million dollar mansions that are on it. And the big thing is to have these massive docks.
Mm.
And they have bars and some have, like, bathroom facilities on the dock.
Built-in fire pits.
Crazy. Everything there. Well, this one they showed, the dock was $350,000.
Wow.
My goodness.
Yeah, well, I guess that's the premise of the show with Jason Bateman is that they wanted to turn the Ozark area into, like, another Vegas.
Yeah.
Because there was so much untapped money there.
Mm-hmm.
Things that have or could have better names. Donuts should be sugar bagels.
Okay.
Milk should be cereal sauce.
All right.
I like this one. A couch should be a human shelf. Hemorrhoids should be asteroids.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Head and Shoulders should have a body soap called Knees and Toes. That's great. And olives should be Grease's Pieces.
Oh.
Nev Campbell. Did you have a thing for Nev Campbell back in the 90s?
Didn't.
You didn't?
I said, who didn't?
Oh, who didn't? Yeah, I was going to say, what is wrong with you?
Oh, my goodness.
She's returning to the Scream franchise for the upcoming 7th installment after skipping the 6th due to a salary dispute.
Okay.
Nev says, my appreciation for these films and for what they have meant to me has never waned. I'm very happy and proud to say I've been asked in the most respectful way to bring Sydney back to the screen. To the amazing Scream fans, I hope you're as excited as I am. So,
I mean, what was to one generation Fast Times at Ridgemont High, to another generation, certainly mine, was Wild Things in terms of pool scenes from movies.
Right, right.
That will not soon be forgotten.
I found that to be a little risque. I like Party of Five. If you've seen any of the photos of Sydney Sweeney since the Oscars or her hosting of SNL, you'll know that Sydney's a beautiful woman, and there's no doubt about that. And fellas are spending a lot of time reviewing the photos of her from the Oscars and the Oscar parties.
A lot of Googling and Oogling.
Yes. A lot of incognito looking for Sydney Sweeney stuff. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, I guess Sydney Sweeney has been trending on Twitter lately because users are promised to send leaked videos of her through a direct message. But instead of naughty videos, you get malware.
Of course.
Basically, the tweets say, I will send the Sydney Sweeney leaks to anyone who likes this post. Follow me so I can DM you the video. And those who respond are sent links to websites that hijack your computer.
Of course.
Some people think Elon Musk is to blame for moderating Twitter, for not moderating Twitter better. One site says, with a monetization incentive system that pays users for popular but low-quality content, more bots than ever, especially porn bots.
Yeah, a lot of bots are out there. And some are easily discoverable. You see someone post, you know, hey, I'm giving away $5,000 a day.
Right.
That's probably not happening.
Most of the time, and I've just learned this over the last couple of years, when you're going through your email, and I know this is not social media, but just your email alone, you'll get all sorts of spam and crap. The easiest way to really know, even if you've got something that's coming in from like Enbridge or Bell and you use these companies, just look at the email.
Yeah, the return address?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always something crazy. And then, you know, it's not for real. In Sharon Stone's 2021 memoir, The Beauty of Living Twice, she said that a producer tried to make her sleep with a co-star in order to improve his performance. She didn't name names in the book, but now she's naming them. The producer, she said, was Robert Evans. The movie was the 1993 erotic thriller Silver. And the co-star whose acting wasn't making the grade was Billy Baldwin.
Oh.
Sharon says that she suggested several other actors for the part, but Robert Evans was dead set on Baldwin. And if she would just have sex with him, it would improve their sexual chemistry and save the movie.
Like, on camera, like no, during the scene,
no, or just have hey, sex,
go and have sex and
yeah, and get to know each other in that way.
Wow.
She added, she didn't have a chemistry issue with Michael Douglas on the previous year's Basic Instinct. She said Michael could come to work and just know how to hit those marks, do that line and rehearse and show up. In her book, Sharon said that this unnamed star, who we now know to be Billy Baldwin, lacked talent and couldn't remember his lines or deliver a scene.
Hmm.
Well, it's always been kind of the joke, right, that Alec got all the talent in that family. Yeah,
acting talent.
Stephen Baldwin is not winning any Oscars anytime soon.
Or Billy.
No.
Right. But wouldn't that, I mean, make it so much more awkward? If they didn't have chemistry already, you're going to go make them have sex with each other and then come to work?
Yeah. Robert Evans was from that kind of 60s, 70s, you know, when there was a lot of casting couches and a lot of stuff going on.
Gotcha. I mean, if you told me the producer was Harvey Weinstein, it would have made more sense.
But he'd want to have sex with her. Not surprisingly, of course, Baldwin is not exactly happy about all of this. He tweeted out, "Not sure why Sharon Stone keeps talking about me all these years later. Does she still have a crush on me, or is she still hurt after all those years because I shunned her advances?"
Oh.
He added, "I have so much dirt on her, it would make her head spin, but I've kept quiet. Wonder if I should write a book and tell the many, many disturbing, kinky, and unprofessional tales about Sharon."
Looking at your bank account, yes, yeah. you should.
Yeah, and I would read it. It would be right on my list of books to buy. Actually, these days, out of all the Baldwin brothers, I think I'd rather be Billy or Steven.
Right.
Alec is not, because he's going back on trial for this thing, right? Or it's in front of the courts again for this killing of
They just had one trial that just closed up.
Yeah.
And the armorer was found guilty.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I know that the prosecution is looking at this once again and seeing if there's something there. So who knows? Dakota Johnson, she really started trashing Madam Web, this movie, okay. This most recent Marvel
is she
film.
In it?
She stars in it. Yeah.
And it with went right Sydney Sweeney.
Hmm?
With Sydney Sweeney.
Is Sydney Sweeney in it? Yeah. Well, that's maybe why she took a shot at it in her opening monologue.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah. So Dakota's not the only one taking shots. But anyhow, it basically opened to disappointment, and she started trash talking it. And so Sony isn't happy, particularly the way she's dragging the movie.
No doubt.
They say lots of people at Sony are questioning her star power and how she's reacted to this failure. Well, will likely come back to haunt her. Not every movie is going to work, but a lot of hard work is put towards even bad movies. And for your star to crap on it is a bad look.
Well, part of their agreement is usually to do press for the movie to try and drum up attention, right? That's why they're going on all these interviews and talk shows and this press junket. To try and drum up attention for it. I can't imagine they're happy about her or either of them if they're trashing it. And they're probably in violation of a contract somewhere by doing that.
Yeah, and Dakota Johnson should really take a little tip from an actress named Katherine Heigl, if you remember her. She was in Knocked Up, mm-hmm. and when it was released, she badmouthed it. And basically Seth Rogen and the rest of the cast... Judd Apatow, who produced it and wrote it and directed it, they basically blackballed her, and that was it. She's never really worked again. And so, yeah, you know, the word Hollywood's a small little town.
Yeah.
Who's going to be willing to risk hiring Dakota Johnson? Because if things don't go well, she's got that Chris Martin money now.
Yeah.
It don't matter. She's got that Coldplay cash. She's fine. If you own a car that's new enough to have a touchscreen and smart features, it's spying on you right now. And not only spying on you, ratting you out to your insurance.
Oh.
How dare.
Dirty dog.
This is why I like to stick with my 88 Neon. It's got not a stitch of technology in it.
You had the removable deck.
I did in one of my cars.
A little faceplate you so take off, remember
cool.
that?
It was so cool.
People walking around malls and restaurants with faceplates of their stereo system in their pocket.
Remember when they got to the point, too, where the screen would come up and it would have all the lights going on to show you the
so
settings?
Cool.
Yeah. So you could play your cassette of Aerosmith's greatest hits.
Or when you got to those big CD packs, you have to remember... What CD was number 88 in your collection in your trunk?
Yeah. Yeah. One of the first things I had gotten a portable CD player, but I had to get an adapter, which was basically a wire hanging out of a fake cassette.
Yeah.
And you'd shove that in the cassette deck and then plug it into the back of the portable CD player. And I had it in this car that was lacking shocks and springs. And so every time you hit a bump, the CD would literally skip to the end.
That's true.
Then I had a piece of foam on the dash the size of your head to try to cushion.
The lengths we would go to.
Yeah. Yeah, crazy.
All to play all of that great technology through $2 speakers.
Yeah, right.
Right.
This car was so bad that I had this in. that near the end, I'd be holding the CD player with one hand because if I made a right, it would go tumbling off the dash. And then as I made the right, I also had to hold the driver's door closed or it would swing wide open because it wouldn't latch properly.
Right.
And then I'm trying to make the right with my knee while the fumes from the exhaust were coming up below the never got laid in that car.
Oh, you don't say.
That's shocking.
I went through the Sherwin Vega era where, you know, you couldn't your buddy had a four-seater car, but you could only sit two because there were speakers in the back were so huge.
Huge, yeah. When my grandmother passed away, she had left me and my sister a bond, and I can't remember how much it was for. Maybe a couple of $100 or something. And I went out and blew it on stereo speakers.
Of course.
Cash that bad boy in. I mean, I don't know the interest rates on bonds. She died when I was probably about 15 or something. And I'd probably be worth about $212 now.
Or you could retire on it.
Yeah. Well, maybe. Do they even sell bonds anymore? Is that something?
I think so. Well, more GICs, but yeah.
Ones, yeah. Remember, it was just, Canadian bonds.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so the New York Times does a big story on how car companies are starting to share our driver data with insurers. The insurers pay for this data. And if they don't like how you're driving, up go your rates. They can even double them. So one app called the OnStar Smart Driver is pushed as something to help you become a better driver. GM confirmed that they use it to share select insights about hard braking and hard accelerating. And it kind of gives, I guess, a warning anytime you go over like 120K or 80 miles an hour, I guess.
What?
Yeah. Now, supposedly.
So anytime you're on the 401?
Yeah, basically. Basically, your rates are going up. General Motors says most major car companies are doing it now. They basically trick you into using the free apps. And the fine print, which nobody reads, says they can share the data with third parties. You can unenroll from it, but you might not even know you're signed up. Car dealers get bonuses now if they sign you up.
Wow.
You have to look through the real tiny fine print carefully to figure out if you're actually signed up or not. Industry experts say if car companies want to do this, they at least need to be upfront about it and give us a warning. Election.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, any of that third party sharing is really an issue,
right?
When it comes to who's seeing your data, and the insurance racket has a pretty firm grip and on us.
You know what? They really are quite smart because I think what they've realized is forever as you aged, your car insurance would come down, right? Really expensive at 16, 17. And then once you get into your 40s and beyond, once you even hit 25, it comes down. But the thing they realized is when somebody gets into their 40s and 50s, this is when they can afford a nicer new car.
Mm.
Now, their rates should have come way down because they're in their 50s. But now this dude's driving a nice new car. He's got the small penis syndrome, and he's doing $140 all over the place. And then wonders why his rates are like they were when he was 18.
Right.
You know, so. And insurance is the only thing. We pay it for all of it. We have it for everything. Life, home, car. And every time something goes wrong, we're afraid to call them.
True.
They've got us by the cojones. That tree in my living room, it's fine. Just put a tarp over the roof. If you're a waiter or you have somebody in your life who is a waiter, here's a little tip for you. When you're putting together the receipt, draw a smiley face on it. Makes people tip more.
Oh.
Journal of Hospitality Management found people do tip more if they see a smiley face on the receipt. What they did was they printed different tip suggestions on people's receipts, like 15, 20, or 25%, and each one had a different emoji next to it. So they basically wanted to see if the emojis would shame people into tipping more. The lowest percentage had a neutral face emoji. The rest had smiley faces, and the smile got bigger and bigger as the percentages went up.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. I agree with that. I mean, if there's if you get your receipt at the restaurant, it has a thanks from whatever their name is, or thank you and a smile, whatever. You do notice that. I don't know if it makes you tip more, but I guess it gives you one more personal connection to realize, okay, well, maybe this person, could use a tip, or I should tip more. What's driving me nuts now with the tipping is is that, you know, you can place orders online ahead of time and pay for them. And you're asked to tip before your food is made or comes to you. And you think,
oh, are you talking about even at like sit down restaurants? Like say going to like a Swiss Chalet or something?
Yeah, not so much. It's more takeout restaurants now that are asking for tips.
Right.
Before, you know, that you can tip on apps before your food gets to you.
Yeah, you and I have had this debate, and I am actually torn, because there are some fast food places, especially the sandwich places, like they're doing just as much work as anybody else is in any other restaurant. I don't know why we're so determined that we're going to tip someone bringing a tray of food to us and then walking away, but we won't tip a guy who makes a sandwich.
Well, I think part of it is that, you know, we realize tips go back to the restaurant or to the kitchen staff. Mm-hmm. There's dishes and washing involved that isn't involved with a takeout food restaurant.
Well, I'm sure somebody's washing something and doing
in
something
behind there. Yeah, but I mean, like the dish that I eat off of. Mm. You know, when you buy a sandwich at a shop, you're getting it on paper or in a cardboard box normally.
Now, that's not to say that I do tip at sandwich places. I have, certainly during the heights of COVID, I was doing it. But yeah, I just, it's the thing where, like, even with bartenders or beer cart girls, and I know this is probably just a stupid guy thing, but because she drives up to you, stands up, right, and hands you a beer, we give her $2.
Yeah, some of that is, I mean, when you're out there and there's only one, you want them to come back to you, to your group.
Sure.
Right? Because there's times when you're out there and it's blazing hot, you don't see them for 4 hours.
Yeah.
And you think, what the hell? Maybe if you tip them, they'll be more apt to come back quicker. That doesn't happen. You know, necessarily, they're going around the route. That's just how they go.
Yeah.
But for me, it's just, you know, you order a pizza, you know, through an app or online. And even if you're just going to pick it up, the fact that you have to tip before you pay for it or before you receive the food or the service, it just makes you think, well, how do I even know, one, that I'm getting something good? And there's a guilt factor to it. If I don't tip, am I getting a crappy service or a crappily made pizza? Am I getting a spitter?
Well, oh, I guess, yeah, if you do the pre-order, because if you pay when you get there, as I do.
Right.
Because I'm just very old school with all of that. If you pay when you get there, the pizza's in your hand. So if you want to say no tip, you've already got your pizza. But if you are now ordering online and paying online, then yes, they know in advance you haven't tipped.
Yeah.
And so yes, you're getting some toad jam under that cheese. And you deserve it. So if the, the wait staff, put a smiley emoji on it, your tip goes up about 5%.
Like, are we just tipping everywhere now? Like, we have people texting in with a request for a song. Should I ask for a tip first?
I mean, yeah, maybe.
You want to hear your song? Yeah. Flip maybe. Me $5 and I'll play it for you.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, it's honestly, it feels like that's the point we're getting to now. Anything you do, people are just hand out for a tip.
Well, it's certainly, okay, because it takes the embarrassment away, I guess, from the staff, because everybody has debit now. So it's all just included in the debit, you know.
Right.
Want a tip? I mean, I was at I was at Shoppers Drug Mart using my own checkout, and it wanted me to tip.
Yeah, that's right.
Tip out. that's too, it's also, and I'm sure charities must not like this, because on the self-checkouts, they're always saying, would you like to donate $2 to this, that, or that? It's far easier to say no thanks
right
when you're just touching a button on a machine rather than feeling guilty. Mm-hmm. Like at the LCBO now, they're taking money for a women's health network something.
Right.
How do you say no to that?
Yeah.
I say no to women's health. I say yes to Fireball.
But in the tip options now, I mean, they've gotten to the 20, 25, 30% mm-hmm. range now. They're like 10% tip isn't an option anymore.
No.
It's not 10, 15, 20. If it starts at 15, it's going either 15, 18, 20 or 15, 20, 25.
Or 10 would be an insult.
And you're looking at crazy amounts.
Well, it's funny you bring up the ordering and delivery. They also saw a bump with the smiley emojis, and takeout orders saw the biggest increase. So we are tipping on takeout food.
And I think a lot of it is that guilt of if I say zero tip, what are they doing when they're making my food?
Yeah. Well, this is why you got to go old school like Craigie. Go old school, baby.
That's why I just stay inside.
Yeah, don't go anywhere.
Lock myself in the house and barbecue my own.
It's funny. My ego, every time the wait staff put a smiley face and say thanks, I think they're coming on to me. I think, she's into me. Here's a simple test to determine if your kids are eating enough veggies. Grab a veggie out of the fridge, anything, and then ask your kid what it is. If they don't know, they're not eating enough vegetables. A study put a zucchini in front of young people between the ages of 15 and 24 and asked them what it was. Most correctly ID'd it. Others thought it was a cucumber.
Okay.
Which I guess is fair. They're not far off.
Which one's a sex toy?
They're all sex toys. Some thought the zucchini was an eggplant.
Okay.
A few in the study, again, 15 to 24-year-olds, couldn't correctly ID a grapefruit and didn't know what cauliflower was.
Wow. Mm. What did they think, like old broccoli? What did they think it was?
I don't know. I mean, there would be lots of things. Like if you, now I know, but when I was younger, and none, I'm not even talking 15, probably in my 20s, I didn't really know what a rutabaga was
or
a squash, or I probably didn't know the difference really between a cauliflower and a broccoli or Chinese eggplant to regular eggplant.
Right. Well, I mean, there are certain cultural differences. You go into, like, you know, along the 401, there's that Blue Sky.
It's great.
Grocery store. And you know, you go in there and you see fruit, you know, culturally that you've never seen before.
Right.
Or heard of in some cases.
I mean, I just recently got introduced to bok choy. I made a recipe.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's great. But I had to even ask somebody, like, do you use the whole thing, the leaves and everything? Oh, yeah. Just clean it up like a celery stick and get at her. No, it's lovely. I remember I had to go buy. Now, I'm forgetting the other name of it. There's two names for it. One is anise. Do you know what anise?
Star anise?
Yeah. Is it star anise? It's like a, it's got a licorice flavor to it.
Yeah.
But there was another name that I knew it as, and I must have circled the produce section of the grocery store 1,000 times trying to find this anise or what was another name for it. And again, off the top of my head, I can't remember. And then finally I asked somebody and they went, oh, it's right there. And they had a big bin of it. Moron. Here's a good little tip to cook your bacon through. Some people like it crispy. Some like it a little undercooked. I'm a fan of the overcooked and even more so now. Because some dude was struggling with migraines so bad that they were lasting for days and weeks at some point and went on and off for like 4 months. He finally went to the doctor. Turns out he got a diagnosis and it wasn't migraines. No, he had a tapeworm in his head.
You can do that?
A tapeworm can get anywhere, I think.
I thought tapeworms were down there.
And I guess this tapeworm was particular. This tapeworm also got into his brain and laid eggs.
Oh, my goodness.
But thankfully, he's okay. This is one of those amazing stories. I can't find an answer to my froggy throat. This guy's got a tapeworm in his brain laying eggs, but he's fine. Anyhow, the doctors gave him some deworming medication. And that seems to have worked. It's usually a medication that's used on large dogs. His symptoms improved like 2 weeks later.
Oh, my goodness. And all of this is from bacon?
Yeah. Well, don't blame the bacon. Bacon shouldn't be blamed for anything. Bacon is delicious and the greatest food thing on the planet. Who you blame is this idiot for undercooking the bacon.
Oh.
And it was older. It was out of date, supposedly.
Okay.
Past its expiry. Which you think, again, it must have been really past because bacon is fat and salt.
Yeah.
So it's rare cured. For it to go, yeah, it's rare for it to go bad quickly. But anyhow, yep, overcook that bacon. I mean, unless you're looking for a tapeworm in your brain.
I need a couple days off.
Rock Mornings with Craig Venn and Lucky. 94.9 The Rock.